League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys to the beautiful month of July, which means what, Luke Buer? Football starts at the end of this month. And we're just about, I think if my Tartan High education math is correct, just over 8 weeks away from your Golden Gophers taking on the Buffalo Bulls of the MAC conference at Huntington Bank Stadium, which also means, Luke, guess what? People get to hear our dulcet tones, unfortunately, being streamed in their headphones, AirPods, or in the car.
Yeah, it is that time of year again. This is usually where we pick up and we get pretty, I don't know, as the kids say, regular. We usually do like two a week during the football season. July, yeah, we'll probably put out three or four, maybe four. August, we'll put out probably three or four, and that's when we start the game previews and breakdowns. I haven't confirmed yet with Derek Burns if he's going to join us again, but I really hope we can twist his arm. If not, you know, we haven't. I don't know if we've talked to Daniel House about our. I think this will be the fourth time we've done the Big Ten Honors Draft. That'll be another preview episode.
And who won that last year? Just so we're all clear,
I finally did.
I sense a little bit of some sassiness in your voice from West Roseville today.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more sassy now. So the offseason is something that I always kind of look forward to, like the anticipation of building up. You might remember we did a live event one time and like a couple hundred people. Well, I think it was like 150 or might even have been close to 200 people showed up to listen to us at a bar. If anybody has a brewery or bar and they want to do that again, we maybe could do it, under the right conditions, mostly conditions that are not too humid. Because it's been darn humid of late, Ryan.
My sump pump hasn't stopped running since about Wednesday, which we've gotten a lot of rain here in South Roseville compared to West Roseville. But yeah, it's been a summer of either ungodly hot or it's just been storming. So here's to hoping that July is better than June in terms of Minnesota weather, so that now that I actually get a little bit of time to take a breath before we have internal media days here in the Twin Cities for the Gopher team in about 2 weeks' time or so. And then in 3 weeks, Luke's going to hop on a red eye to Mandalay Bay to join me. Now, he's not going to be participating in Big Ten media days. He's just going to hit the baccarat table, of which I'll just be having to check to see if he's alive. But in 3 weeks, we will be heading out to Vegas. And I think just yesterday, they announced that four Golden Gophers will be heading out there. So I'll get to talk with the head coach, PJ Fleck. But we'll also get quarterback Drake Lindsey, running back Darius Taylor, defensive lineman Anthony Smith, and then all ESCO safety Coy Parrish. So not only do we get Coy Parrish, it's also interesting that Drake Lindsey gets to go along, which for a man who refuses to name a starting quarterback, boy, wouldn't it be interesting.
What a signal.
Drake Lindsey isn't the starter.
He's either signaling really strong or he feels like that Drake Lindsey is the Cam Smith Kesich replacement, right? Like it's one both. Of the two. Yeah, okay, yeah, both.
I've talked to some people behind the scenes about it, and it's a little bit of both. It's them trying to have kind of a social media correspondent, but also
yeah.
I'm a firm believer of if you are the starting quarterback, you should absolutely go to Big Ten Media Days, and that's where like the University of Iowa is not sending Mark Gronowski, which I don't completely understand that decision other than you're terrified to have him talk because of his shoulder issues, which
Well, I thought he was at the Manny camp recently.
He was. But okay. Again, I just want to state for the record here, as a member of the media, I think every starting quarterback should have to go to Big Ten Media Days. That's so Minnesota has done that here historically, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my read on the Drake Lindsey thing, is not only is he the starter, this is Fleck strongly signaling that, but it is also he's going to, I think, be the – he's a very outgoing personality, as someone who has talked to him quite a bit here at these Gopher prospect camps. But you'll get to get stories from me on all four of them just here by the end of the month.
Okay, let's do some quick housekeeping. Those of you that listened, you probably heard an ad as you spun up the old, I don't know what aggregator you use, but it might be Spotify or Apple Podcasts or, I don't know, iHeart, whatever. Whatever aggregator you use, you probably heard an ad. Ryan, I don't know if you know, but we decided to turn those on, and we're going to use our platform is going to start to do some ads for us. We were able to opt out of some, which we did. I made the executive decision that we're not going to advertise alcohol because we already advertise alcohol for DTA. We're also not going to allow ads on religion and spirituality, smoking, or politics. How do you feel about my X-ing out of some of
so every
that?
Controversial topic we'd rather not get into, which, look,
well, whatever, I allowed science.
Everybody's thoughts and feelings are on those things. That is fantastic for you, and I applaud you in whatever that is. But this is a Gopher football podcast, and it still blows my mind that what are we at right now? 1.3 million downloads or something like that?
Yeah, it's over millions. Or over a million. Yeah, I think it might be 1.3. But yeah, so we decided to give this a try. We're not committed to it long term. We are still interested in advertising, but we'll vet those. If it comes out of our voice, we're going to vet those and make sure that we feel that it fits. But we're going to try this, especially in the off season. We don't grind to find advertising all year round. But we're going to try this. And it seems like a fair deal with our platform provider. So we eliminated some, but if you hear those and you're wondering, hey, I've never heard this before, that's why. Second, Ryan, we've talked about this a little bit before, but I do like the Spotify comments feature. And on the most recent episode, I do want to share a couple of them with you.
They're all glowing, right?
There are only two. but a guy named Adam,
not an answer to my question.
Adam Nielsen, he posted, I like, this is probably my favorite one. I think Ryan is really changing his best around the utter disdain for Gopher special teams. Love the podcast, Skyuma. So Ryan, kudos, man. It's an N of one, but he thinks you're changing your best.
Well, first of all, Adam, thank you for listening. Thank you for trying to see that. I understand many members of the media, myself included, can get stuck in a rut in terms of not changing their opinions. And I'm sure many of you listeners would say, I don't change my opinion quick enough. And I would admit that I'm trying to change my best with, some would say, a necton mentality, that if I believe I'm wrong on something, I'm not scared to say that and then go back and kind of admit that I'm wrong. Now, again, am I incredibly leery that Minnesota's two place kicking options are either a true freshman from Alexandria who's never kicked in a collegiate game or a transfer from Syracuse who, as we sit here in this beautiful moment in time, the youngest will ever be as you're listening to this. He is 3 of 9 from 40 plus yards. Does that give me a little bit of anxiety at night? It certainly does.
But I have
so much time to ask PJ Fleck about things of that nature. So I hope this is the year that special teams gives me a kick or a punt return touchdown, that the kickers shut me up, and then that Minnesota has something resembling a field-flipping punter. But we have so much time. But Adam, thank you for noticing.
All right, and then one other was it's like a moniker name. I think it's Kohu1101. Tell the Golan Club to bring back their tailgate party. I miss seeing those and you guys there. Yeah, same, man. Those were great. Great opportunity. If you want to advertise a tailgate party, we can help you with that. Yeah. But alternatively, like we'll show up to tailgate parties. Maybe we'll throw our own someday. You never know.
Well, first of all, pour out some of your 40 for the Goal Line Club.
Yeah. I think the efforts have gone largely into Dinkytown athletes as I understand it, but, yeah.
Those were some fantastic tailgates. You couldn't beat the location. You couldn't beat the price, especially for unlimited alcohol and food and inside, especially for those November games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, trust me, if you have a tailgate that – look, I walk around the lots. I got some time before games because, you know, just let us know.
Yeah, for sure. We'll swing by. Okay. I think that's largely the housekeeping items. I would encourage people, you know, leave reviews on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on whatever aggregator you use. Reach out, obviously, on GI. You know, give us some feedback if there's stuff you'd like to see or whatnot. We're always open to new ideas. Otherwise, I have been trying to convince Ryan that we should have an unfiltered version of the podcast. He seems really hesitant to do that. I thought we'd call it like GGR group chat, but I don't know. He hasn't really gone with it yet.
What is this, like a Patreon version where you just get to
where are we?
My unfiltered thoughts?
No, not your unfiltered thoughts, but, you know, just like a little bit more rough around the edges, off the cuff. You know, this is a little structured. Like, you even told me you put together some notes for this one. Like, what is this?
I know. Well, as many people can attest, and as I was doing KFan last week with Justin Gard and Chip Scoggins, I was talking about Roman Voss. And I know Justin Gard said it tongue in cheek, but I have a very good memory.
I know.
Which is why I'm through Calc 4.
Okay. Now,
see, here's the correlation here. It's just a lot of memorization and then just thought processes with math. Again, to me, that's kind of where my memory recognition comes from. So I try to write some notes, especially for this is going to be your summer splash kind of recruiting download, where Minnesota's got, I believe, as we sit here, 24 commits, and they have a top 20 class nationally. I know a lot of you are excited about it. I'm excited about it as someone who has now spent the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks trying to figure all this out. I swear the calendar for college football continues to move more rapidly, and the windows of time where coaches, and I ain't telling you I have a hard job, I don't, but where you get the chance to at least know when you can take a breath, this is now one of those windows here before Big Ten media days and internal media days. But the last 5 weeks have been so recruiting focused where I think I have a lot of it on the top of my head, but I have some notes to make sure that I can at least speak what I believe is somewhat accurately about these 24 commits that Flex got in his 2026 recruiting class.
All right. So yeah, as we talk about that, I'm going to complain a little bit about 247 here real quick. I wanted to be able to filter this by position group. Didn't let me, whatever. That's fine. But we should note, I found this interesting. We've talked to Marcus Hendrickson on the podcast before, and he is the director of player personnel. I'll try and find the episode when we talked with him previously, but that was kind of an interesting interview. And I imagine things have changed somewhat, but you can get some general idea of, you know, some of the strategy that he talked about when they try and look at players and what they're looking for, especially on film before they offer. That could be interesting. I'll try and find that episode and link it, you know, on Twitter or something like that. But Ryan, this class is starting to shape together well. I know that you often have disclaimers, so I'll say them for you so you don't have to repeat yourself again. The disclaimers are, it's June, things are fluid. Lots
it's July 1st now.
Good point. July 1st now. Things are fluid. These are, you know, largely 18-ish year olds, 17 to 18 year olds. They can change their minds. That happens, and it happens frequently. Things can
change.
We're
not trying to declare them the off-season champions, because I'll remind you, Luke Buehr,
that's not something you want to win.
No one wins the off-season like the Nebraska Cornhuskers have every single year for almost the last decade. And as we've seen on September, October, and November performance, winning the offseason means absolutely nothing.
No.
But I'm also going to try to not do a Mel Kiper. And what I say by that is, I'm not going to tell you every one of these kids is going to be an NFL draft pick, because they're not going to be. And that's where you get into like the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds of the NFL draft, and you're hearing Mel Kiper go on about how he's comparing these guys to 10-year NFL vets. And it's like, that would be an outstanding outcome for them. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to give some player comparisons to help fans resonate with kind of a playing style or a body type or things of that nature, but it is, it's a really good recruiting class for PJ Fleck. Here's what I'll say. It's one to where I've talked about it with numerous people over in Dickeytown that are in and around the building on a daily basis. They believe this is one of the highest ceiling recruiting classes that they've had in now Fleck's 9 years here. And I agree with them. I would also tell you that the other question I get quite a bit here of recent note is how much of this is because Minnesota has all that money to spend. Folks, I understand that there's a lot of confusion still, and we'll try to get into that as we get closer to the season. With today is the first day of the house settlement and the $14 million that's being paid out to the football players. The way I want to phrase this is the way PJ Fleck allocates his Dinkytown athletes funds and his house settlement funds from me asking behind the scenes about this is really primarily not to high school players. He wants to pay the players that perform on the field. And that's where you've seen, I'll give one recent example of, say, Texas A&M. Texas A&M has all the oil money in the world. Every Texas school does. Go look and see what Texas Tech has done, Texas A&M, Texas. And they have ungodly amounts of money. They have unlimited funds down there. Now, Minnesota has limited funds. And the thing that has gotten Texas A&M into trouble, I've heard in the locker room, is say they pay a kid $250,000 to come there. He's a 4- or 5-star kid. Well, then there'll be a starter who's not making that type of money. And he hears about that, goes to the coaching staff, and he's like, hey, what the heck? Why is he making that? But I'm actually playing. Those are not the type of conversations I want to hear about in a collegiate locker room that is filled with 17 to 23-year-olds. So the way that Minnesota has chosen to allocate their funds is to the players that they believe are the best players on the team. Now, these kids are making more money than they ever have, especially with this house settlement money. I can assure you none of these players are I won't say that. They're not how do I want to phrase this, Luke?
I'm not sure. I mean, at the end of the day, like Minnesota,
they're all making 5 figures easily.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, now, they're going to be
on the low end of the 5 figures or the high end of the 5 figures. That's all very much. I mean, it depends where you are in the team and things like that. But I'm just trying to say here, Minnesota didn't broke boy Alabama for Roman Voss. Like that's not a thing. I can assure you the Alabama Crimson Tide have exponentially more money than what Minnesota has. Now, the efforts of you loyal listeners and to Dickeytown athletes have certainly played a part. But Minnesota's not buying this recruiting class. That's the overarching point that I want to make sure that I stress here to folks.
Yeah, you know, there's this old saying that more money, more problems, right? And I think what you're getting at with the example of Texas A&M probably fits that caricature, right? And the other reality is that, generally speaking, how do I phrase this?
It's a good thing we're really good with words, right?
No. Like your actions probably speak louder than your promises, right? And your words. And I think the reality is that Dinkytown Athletes has been really clear about how they're going to operate. And I think that I would assume they're starting to get a reputation around that, right? And that reputation means like if we say one thing, you can expect to get that, whereas other institutions, we're starting to see this more and more, have not been able to follow through on that, and they had certain promises and they didn't see them, right? So you might be frustrated in the short term, but like, you know, stick with it, stick with this vision, and I think in the long term you're going to continue to be competitive on, you know, reputation, and obviously now with the money that they're able to add with the house settlement, like even more competitive, maybe not the highest competitor, but that's, or the highest bidder, as you might say, but the one that is going to be able to offer maybe a more competitive package, because it maybe isn't all money, right? It could be playing time, it could be academics, it could be a variety of things. And I think that's going to be this next couple of years, is you're going to build reputations along this. Dinkytown Athletes, I think, has laid the groundwork. in a good way in terms of reputation and follow through. Now there's the addition to the house settlement and how that's going to reshift the paradigm.
Well, that's a great point to make in terms of, I'm not trying to tell you Minnesota's broke. Minnesota has as much money to pay their players as they've ever had. And you look at the recent examples of, well, they're not losing Bucky Irving for $250,000 to Oregon anymore. Like, you look at the last few off seasons of, you were able to keep Ariante Ursary and Ja Joyner from hitting the portal last year, and they were well compensated because of that. Darius Taylor stuck around, even though some of you listeners have told me for now almost 4 years that Darius Taylor is going to transfer to Michigan. Yet here I look on July 1st, 2025, and if he has the season that he hopes to have, he might be leaving early for the NFL. He's still here. And you look at Anthony Smith and you look at Coy Parrish, they're still here. Is Minnesota the highest offer that those guys could receive on an open NIL house settlement market? Absolutely not. But because Minnesota can make, I'll call it, a very competitive offer, these kids like it here in Dinkytown. They like it here in the Twin Cities. And if you can just be close or close enough, now close enough is very subjective depending upon every kid, 100%. Their family, different things. But because of the DTA support and because of the house settlement support, you're seeing Minnesota's not losing a lot of guys here in the last couple of off seasons because they can make competitive offers.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Let's actually start to look at the class or this class as it sits today. As I look at it, Ryan, it's at least on 247 overall, it's 19th nationally. Composite wise, it's 19th as well. Wait, what's the difference between national? I thought, are those the same overall and composite?
The composite uses...
Oh, it uses the other...
Slash rivals, which to me, even as someone who lives in this industry, is a little confusing now that On3 and Rivals have merged together, plus there's some ESPN in there. And then we have our own 247 rankings as well.
So the overall is the 247 rankings.
Potentially. I don't know which link you're looking at, but they have a top 20 class, whether you look at the composite, whether you look at 24/7 zone rankings.
Okay. Yeah, so you want to go position by position, or where do you want to go?
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Okay. Let's start with offensive line then. I think that Andrew Trout was one of the first commitments in this class, right? He's probably the headliner there. He's a kid out of Cold Spring, Minnesota. So again, outstate Minnesota. This, your page has him listed at 6'6", 295. That's a big boy, Ryan.
He is a big boy. And before I get into Trout, here's what I want to say. This offensive line class has the potential to be, in 5 years' time, the hope would be one of the best offensive line classes that Minnesota's had in some time, both in quality of prospects and quantity, because all five guys to me, and I've talked about this with some different staff members, I believe they all have the potential to stick a tackle. Now, why is that important? Because it is so much easier to be a tackle that slides inside than an interior guy that slides to right tackle, because that's where you get into issues with maybe he doesn't have the best foot speed, the best athleticism. He's not the longest arm guy in the world, maybe not the adequate height. All five guys in this offensive line class have the necessary standards, at least in my mind, for height, length, athleticism, and foot speed, which for a school like the University of Minnesota is very, very tough to do. So I think offensive line coach Brian Callahan deserves a lot of credit for that. So does guys like Greg Harbo. They've done a really good job of assembling guys that have a future at tackle, and if it doesn't work there, you can slide them inside, and it's a lot easier. And that's where you start with Andrew Trout. The kid from Macaurie, Minnesota, has dealt with some injuries here the last couple of seasons, but he is someone that, I've said this before, I think he is, and this is just the nature of the beast, Luke, because of the industry that I'm in. It's going to sound a lot worse than what I'm actually saying. He is the best looking offensive line prospect to me to come out of this state since probably that Joe Alt, Bryce Benhart, Riley Malman tier. He looks as svelte as you can probably look for someone who is 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. He's legitimately 6'7", has really long arms, has a really long wingspan. He just needs to stay healthy. And that's the thing, is it's very tough to find kids that are 6'7", 300 pounds that look the way that he does and then convince them to come to the University of Minnesota. He just has to play football. And unfortunately for him, like so many – now, I think you know this about me, Luke. There is only really one true team in the sports market that I'm an actual rube of, and that is the Minnesota
Twins.
Yes. And that's where the curse of that is every Twins prospect always gets hurt, or their best players always get hurt, whether it's been from Byron Buxton to Royce Lewis to Walker Jenkins to Emmanuel Rodriguez, Luke Kuechel. You can go on forever and ever.
I recognize one name.
I love that for you. But that's where Andrew Trout unfortunately missed most of the season last year, and then he's been banged up a little bit here in the offseason. Now, the hope would be that he's ready to go by the time Corey's season is ready to go. But he is someone that I think could be a future left tackle here. Now, you go down the list here. I'll start next with Gavin Meyer, the number one player in the state of Wisconsin. A trend started by Nathan Roy a couple of years ago. So that is two of the last 3 years that Minnesota has got committed, the number one player in the state of Wisconsin. Now, Gavin Meyer did choose Minnesota over Wisconsin, among others. He's another kid that is 6'5" plus, really long arms, really long wingspan. He is, of this group to me, someone that has could play anywhere from left tackle to right tackle. And what I mean by that is all five positions on the offensive line to me for him, the way I have seen him at Minnesota camp, the way I watched him on his junior tape, that's where I think he can slide anywhere. Now, he's got the adequate, as we talked about, measurables to be a right tackle, left tackle. But getting the number one player in the state of Wisconsin is very important, and Minnesota is going to attempt to do it again here in 2027. But I know from talking with Meyer, now I'm a little bit biased here, Luke, because I also spent 10 minutes with him talking about bear hunting, turkey hunting, mm-hmm. pheasant hunting, and deer hunting, all of which I think I can speak the lingo of. But he is a kid who... He enjoys the outdoors, so I'm a little bit biased here. I'll be the first one to say that. But I am excited to see what he becomes, because he is someone who, if you look at him, he looks like he's 14 years old. He's very baby-faced for the size that he is, but he is a very tenacious player. The next one I'll get to is Lucas Tilch, a gigantic human being from Ohio. I actually asked around about this. And Lucas Tilch, and then the next guy I'll talk about, Mitali Benjamin.
Oh, you missed an opportunity for me to pronounce that.
I know. I wanted to give you at least a little reprieve here before I attempt some of these other names down the line.
Oh, but no.
I think Tilch and Benjamin are, as we currently sit here, are the number two and the number three tallest offensive linemen to commit to the University of Minnesota, the number one being Daniel Fa'alele. So if that gives you any indication of how tall these guys are at 6'7", like, they are very, very big human beings. Now, I think Tilch, Minnesota beat out Northwestern for him, someone that Brian Callahan was able to go watch in the spring, and he's changed his body quite a bit. Now, he's over 300 pounds, but he's working on getting closer to 300 than 325. But right tackle, and if it doesn't work there, someone I see probably going inside to guard. Mitali Benjamin might be my – there's a lot of – you're going to hear me say this. A lot of my favorite guys in this class, but Mitali Benjamin had an extensive offer list. He is from Utah, of all places, and he is someone that I know Callahan and Harbaugh and Fleck spent a lot of time talking about, the comparisons between Daniel Fa'alele and him. He could have gone anywhere he wanted in the Mountain Time Zone, could have gone many different places in the Pacific Time Zone. But he came up to Minnesota, loved his official visit. Being able to get him committed is very important. Someone that I think is a right tackle in the future. Now we'll see if he sticks at left. But big physical kid, just someone that it's tough to find guys that look like him. I just can't reiterate that enough, because I've covered a lot. I've covered this Gopher football team for now 15 years, especially in recruiting. In the days of, at least in my eyes, a guy being an inch or two too short, or his arm is an inch or two too short, or the kid runs a tenth or 2/10 too slow, they're very hard to find in this class. This is the way it's all supposed to look, which is why they have a top 20 class right now. And that kind of fits Metalli Benjamin to a T. And then finally, Daniel McMorris. He's the biggest project of this group. He's someone who is, I think he's around 250 pounds right now. But he is someone that looks like he's about 200 pounds at 250. So you get him with the strength coach, Dan Nickel, you get him up to 295 pounds in a couple of years. And you see what it looks like because he's 6'5", very long arms, great bend. Again, these are all guys that if you want to look in 2028, again, that's the tough part about all this recruiting, especially with offensive linemen, is it's going to be a few years. I mean, you look at the offensive line that Minnesota is going to be trotting out here in about 2 months' time, but the only underclassman I could say that is going to be amongst that mix is Nathan Roy, and he was a highly touted kid as a four-star out of Wisconsin, redshirt freshman this year. These kids on the offensive line need 3 years usually to develop, and then you're going to know what you have. Now, there are always exceptions to the rule, like Ariante played early, Greg Johnson played early. I could see a couple of these kids playing early. It's just about finding health and getting these kids strong. But the clay is there for Brian Callahan and Dan Nickel. Can't reiterate that enough.
All right, let's talk. Let's probably talk quarterback next. I think the guy has a great name. I won't say why, but his first name is Owen Lansu. Did I pronounce last name right? Huh? Did I get it?
You did. Nice. I think you're very partial to that name. I can't imagine why.
Can't imagine why either. But he's a quarterback. You have him listed as 6'1", 185. Yep. I thought the name of the town was funny. Downers Grove, Illinois. Never heard of that before. But Downers Grove struck me as funny. He's a 3-star prospect out of the state of Illinois that committed here recently. I imagine this was last year.
In your mind. Again, I don't know where your mind goes.
For a quarterback, that's probably about right. But I was thinking he was going to be a summer splash, but nope, that was last summer.
Yeah, quarterback recruiting has never been more accelerated than it has been in this day and age, where Greg Harbaugh just got his 2027 quarterback committed in Furion and Ferreira, which we can spend the next 18 months talking about. But if you know anything, if you are a longtime recruiting Rube, you know that the high school modern day out there in California, they have produced quarterbacks from, I believe, Matt Leinart to Bryce Young to so many others. And that's where the interesting part about that quarterback battle going on right now is Furion, Minnesota's 2027 quarterback commit, is currently battling Wisconsin's 2026 quarterback commit for the starting job there. So we'll have to end up seeing how that one breaks out here in about 3 months. But Owen Lansu has been committed now for nearly a year. And that's, I cannot stress you enough, that's very normal in Big Ten quarterback recruiting circles because things just are so accelerated there. And so many of these kids want to have a home, especially quarterbacks. I will die on the hill, by the way, if Netflix is looking for more documentary ideas, which you know they are. I know Dance Moms is always a big hit. I would argue that Quarterback Dads should be the next ones. Now, I'm not speaking about Owen Lance, who's father.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, some of the quarterback dads I've interacted with over the 15 years I've been doing this, if folks only knew some of the craziness that goes on, especially from that position, it's insane. And I think Netflix would really enjoy that. But Lansu, to me, is a very high floor kid. And there's some kids where you take them and you're like, the ceiling is through the roof. But you also have to acknowledge the floor. I mean, it's into the subfloor. And to me, from watching Lansu, from seeing him live, from watching his junior tape, from talking with people around the complex, I think everybody agrees he's a very high floor player. Why? Because he's got a great processor. And that is something that I think offensive coordinator Greg Harbaugh is really leaning into. He's talked about it publicly for essentially his entire tenure, where maybe the first quarterback that Greg Harbaugh had to work with, his processor wasn't the greatest or wasn't the fastest. And then you go from that to Max Brosmer last year. You can see how that can upgrade an offense and allow it to be very creative. And that's where you saw a much more creative offense in year two from Greg Harbaugh, because he trusted the quarterback and they put a lot on the quarterback at the line of scrimmage. And to me, if it goes really well for Owen Lansu, he's Tanner Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
I think physical skill set wise, Owen isn't the biggest or the prettiest looking quarterback that you'll see throughout the Big Ten. To your point, he's 6'1", 185 pounds. He's not going to be Drake Lindsay looking, but that doesn't matter if you can just be accurate in process. I mean, that's to me the two biggest things I want to see from a quarterback. Everybody loves to see the big explosive throws down the field. I'll be the first one to tell you, I love watching it from the press box. But I think I've learned from watching Gopher quarterbacks now for over a decade, if you can just be accurate and then you can have your offensive coordinator trust you,
mm-hmm.
I'll take that also from some of the quarterbacks I've seen trot out onto Huntington Bank Stadium's field there. So I think if it goes really well for Owen, he can have like a Tanner Morgan type of career, which that is a fantastic outcome for him if that's the case.
All right, let's continue in the backfield and talk running back, and then we'll get to pass catchers. Ryan Estrada from El Dorado, El Paso, Texas, is a 5'9", 195 running back. He's a 3-star who committed here on one of the summer splash events, Ryan.
Do you remember the last player that Minnesota signed from El Paso?
Oh, man.
He was a receiver, tall kid. I think he caught...
He's number 88, wasn't he?
Yep, that was number 88.
What is his name? Oh, crud. What is his name? I cannot. It's going to kill me when you say it. Just say it.
Rashad Still.
Rashad Still. Man, I maybe if you'd have given me like a half hour, I could have come up with it, but my brain wasn't going to get that one. But I could see him for sure.
That was a Pat Poor special back in 2015. Almost, that was a decade ago. Golly, am I old. But I'll tell you this about Ryan Estrada. I know we at 24/7 Sports have him ranked as an 88, which is the 35th best tailback in the country. We're too low. I'm just going to tell you, whether you want to watch his tape, whether you want to look at the actual schools that were recruiting him, he's not the biggest tailback in the world, which I would imagine our rankings team is taking into account that he's only 5'9". But he is going to be among the fastest tailbacks that Minnesota's had in the PJ Fleck era. Like I went back, I watched I know his tape well, but I actually went back and kind of looked through his stat log. Mm-hmm. And he plays in, I believe, a high level of Texas in terms of the quality and class of college football. I think he's got
football.
Somewhere around 18 touchdowns of 65 yards or longer. Like, if that doesn't tell you that if he sees green, he's going to win the foot race.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to tell you here.
Bro's out there running sprints in the heat.
My man out there getting wind sprints in, and nobody's catching him in Texas, which tells me you got to be a very fast player. Now, if it goes really well for Ryan Estrada, of which, what an immaculate first name. Many people say that's among the most handsome of first names I think I've ever heard. Now, you often tell me, since you've seen me in person quite a bit, you know, I have a face for radio and a body for podcasting, of which I'm not going to be the one to tell you otherwise.
I think you have a face for TV. And I think you have a stature for lumberjacking.
I do love myself a flannel, and I do consider myself an outdoorsman. So now you're just being nice to me now, which I don't know how that feels. How does that feel? I don't take compliments well.
It feels odd, for sure. I like to dish it out a little bit. So,
but if it goes really well for Ryan Estrada, and for those of you who have followed Gopher football recruiting, I would say here in the last 15 years, I think he can be the player that many fans wanted Berkeley Edwards to be back in the day.
Okay, good comp.
Now, Berkeley, it was supposed to be the fastest thing since grass, and it just didn't work out here. I think if you ask me, of all the skill position players that Minnesota has committed in this 2026 recruiting class, Ryan Estrada, to me, stands out like a sore thumb as someone who can play right away.
Okay.
Why? Because he has a skill set in terms of deep speed that Minnesota does not really have in their tailback room. Now, I like Zeke Bates, and we'll get to Zeke Bates, but Minnesota signed three high school tailbacks in December that were all over, I think, 215 pounds, and they're more north-south guys, and so is Zeke Bates, and there's nothing wrong with north-south guys, but you have to at least have a couple of east-west guys in the room. That's where Darius Taylor, he's more of a north-south guy. Hopefully, you'll be able to see A.J. Turner. Mm-hmm. He's more of an east, an east-west kind of guy. I just think that Ryan Estrada's skill set lends him to get the ball to him in space and watch him be really, 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 really fast.
Yeah, and to your point, as long as he can catch, right? No, assuming that you know, we have the same offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, like that's an easy way to get on the field, right? For a running back, 100%. As much as they've used Darius Taylor in that role.
It's like I almost want Ryan Estrada to be the player that many hope that Berkeley Edwards meets Kristen Hoskins was.
Sure, sure.
Where you have all the speed, but how do we figure out a way to utilize it that really can make a defense cover the entire field? And I think that's what Ryan Estrada can do. Now, I'll also mention that Jaden Everett, Minnesota's tailback coach, deserves a lot of credit for this because he beat his former employer at Michigan. That's where Jaden Everett was last year. He was the assistant tailbacks coach. Michigan wanted him badly. Mm-hmm. And they had him on campus for, I think, 5 or 6 days between an unofficial visit that he took out there in the spring. He took an official visit there before coming to Minnesota. And Michigan still didn't have any tailbacks committed. So you can't tell me that wasn't a committable offer. Mm-hmm. Plus, Estrada was scheduled to go to Alabama the weekend after Minnesota, and he committed and didn't go to Bama. So whether you want to look at offer list, whether you want to watch his tape, of which it's very, very fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, I think he's a 4-star kind of kid. I mean, we're talking about a guy who has run for, I'd have to look at the stats. I think he's run for over 3,000 yards in Texas already, mm-hmm. which, excuse me, Luke, I stand corrected. He has run for 4,394 yards. Do you want to guess what his yards per carry is in his career?
Probably around 9.
He had on 377 high school carries so far, and I'll remind you, that's a freshman, sophomore, junior. Averaging 11.6 yards per carry. Now, that's not any time. If you can just average over 5 in college, you're an outstanding Big Ten tailback. And I don't know that Ryan Estrada is ever going to be a 25 touch a game workhorse, mm-hmm. but there's no reason why he can't get double digit touches a game when ultimately it's his time in that room.
All right. So you mentioned Zeke Bates, 5'11", 220. He's out of Malvern, Pennsylvania. He committed in late April. So I don't think that was part of the summer splash, but he's another 3-star back.
Yeah. To me, if it goes well for him, he reminds me a lot of Shannon Brooks. Back before Shannon kind of went down with all those different injuries and dealt with some things off the field, and Shannon had a heck of a life. I mean, he battled a lot of different things off the field. Now he's still with us. I'm not trying to tell you otherwise, but another north-south guy, 215 pounds, Minnesota beat out Wake Forest and Boston College for him back in the day. Someone that Jaden Everett really liked, offered him back in February when he first got the job, and Minnesota really moved on him from there. So he's an elusive guy. I mean, you put on his tape, he's very elusive for 215 pounds and shifty, but he's certainly someone that wants to bring the physicality to you. And to me, I'll always remember a tailback like that in terms of Shannon Brooks.
All right. Do you want to talk tight end or wide receiver first?
Well, let's go to the most important position on the entire offense as a former collegiate tight end, Luke.
All right. So I guess most people have probably been waiting for you to talk more about Roman Voss. He's obviously out of Jackson, Minnesota, from Jackson County Central. He's a 6'4", 225-pound tight end. He is the highest-rated player in the state of Minnesota, and he committed on the 23rd of June. So he is still a very new commit, and Minnesota beat out they beat out Alabama for him. People will go, what's the connection to Alabama? Why is that a close thing? Well, look at Alabama, look up their offensive coordinator, look up their head coach, and they're pretty darn close in South Dakota to where Roman Voss is from.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk here about Roman Voss, and if you've heard this spiel, it's because when Roman Voss commits, apparently I get to go on KFAN four times in a week in the middle of
really?
The summer.
Really? That's all it took?
That's all it took. Which we're very appreciative of the folks at KFAN and hoping that I'll be back for another Sunday of Gopher Football Sunday with JG.
Oh, you guys still negotiating?
I think people... Here's what I'll say about radio. It's a lot more like on the cuff and like you don't get a lot of heads up. Now, Gardy is better than a lot of people at that. And so I would assume we're going to be going again. But like it's very much a text message and then you appear. And then it's you kind of go from
there. That's what you're made for.
Yeah. You have to be very flexible with your time, which look, I'll tell you, as someone who works in sports journalism, I'm about as flexible with my time as it comes. Working in sports is constantly nights, weekends, holidays, and then whenever people can talk. Like it's the I'd say when I'm the least busy historically is between the hours of 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I would tell you right away in the morning and then from 5 until somebody goes to sleep is when it's most active, at least in my life. But that's a whole different
podcast. Let's get back to Roman Voss. We don't need to talk about terrestrial radio anymore.
Yeah, okay. So Roman Voss is important. He is. I mean, he's the number one ranked kid in the state for a reason. 6'4", 220, 225 pounds. It's the number one ranked kid in the state of Minnesota, choosing the Golden Gophers for the third straight high school cycle, joining Emmanuel Carmo, who came to Minnesota from Robbinsdale Cooper, and then obviously Coy Parrish from Esco. If you want to change the goalposts with it, I'll give you this. It'd be kind of 5 because Jackson Howard is now on the roster, but in that same respect, Trey Bixby is not. And the important thing here is I think many Gopher fans can attest, and I only can really speak about the 15 years that I've been doing this, but in my 15 years, I'm well aware that the top kids in Minnesota don't always choose Minnesota. And historically, it's offensive linemen. I mean, you'll have the rare year where a tight end like Roman Voss is the number one player, but you can go all the way back to Chantrell Henderson. You can talk Joe Alt, Bryce Benhart, Riley Malman, different guys where every recruitment is unique. Every kid values different things. And I think for me, the Roman Voss recruitment is one I'm going to remember for a long time because when Minnesota eventually did offer, and they were his first offer. I'm not telling you they were late here. The initial word out of that kind of that part of the state was that kid's going to go to Iowa or Nebraska probably. Like that is the type of kid because in Jackson, Minnesota, Lakefield, Minnesota, I mean, they're very much on the Iowa border there. Historically, that's where those kind of guys go. And Minnesota hung in there. And I think tight ends coach Eric Kaler, deserves a lot of credit for the way he recruited Roman, really showed him he was a priority. I think Harbo and Fleck deserve an assist here as well. But Roman Voss could have had an offer from essentially anybody he wanted an offer from. Now, initially, Minnesota offered, then Wisconsin and Iowa came in. Okay, and then he goes through his junior season. And then in the spring, he gets more national historical blue blood offers from places like Alabama, USC, Miami, Florida, like especially schools with a lot of money. Now, at the end, it was Minnesota or Bama. And Luke talked about how there's a lot of connections to that part of the state. I'll be the first one to tell you he's right. Because Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, why are they at Alabama now? Because they were really successful earlier in their career. And guess where they are from? Northern Iowa, and I think Ryan Grubb's case. But they both worked at Sioux Falls, which is a quick jaunt over for essentially anybody in that part of the state who wants to go to a bigger city is Sioux Falls. So they can resonate with a Jackson / Lakefield, Minnesota type of family. There's a lot of weight that was held there, but ultimately he chose Minnesota. I think he's a guy that Minnesota is going to try to implement sooner than later. Now they've got some interesting tight end bodies in that room yet that have really yet to see the field, like Pierce Walsh and Julian Johnson. There's another one. I can picture his face, but I can't remember his name. I'll look into that here as I continue to talk. But what's the comp for Roman Voss? Everybody wants a comp. It's going to pain some of you Gopher fans to hear this, but the best comp I have is if it goes really well for Roman Voss here at the University of Minnesota, I think he's Minnesota's version of Sam Laporta, who is a Detroit Lion, one of the best tight ends in the NFL now, but he did come from the University of Iowa. I think there's a lot of similarities in their profiles coming out of high school. Now, Roman is an outstanding multi-sport athlete, is a very, very good basketball player, crossed the 1,000-point threshold as a sophomore. I believe he's not going to graduate early because he wants to do basketball, but I don't, maybe I'm remembering wrong. But Roman Voss plays everything for Jackson, Minnesota, from quarterback to receiver to linebacker to whatever they need, because he's the best athlete on the field, and that's what the best athlete on the field normally does. But it's an exciting win for PJ Fleck. I mean, it's not all the time I can talk to you that Minnesota's beat out Bama, but this is now the third time that they have in like the last 6 months, because they beat out Bama for Roman Voss, they beat out Bama for Ryan Estrada, and then they beat out Bama for Khalid Tafai, who's going to be challenging to start on the offensive line here. They beat out Bama, and he was a Washington transfer, of which Kalen DeBoer was from. So it's certainly a different pool that Minnesota is starting to swim into a little bit more. Now, they're not always winning those battles, but when they do win those battles, as someone who remembers the early part of, you know, the 2010s and always having to kind of compete against Northern Illinois, It's a very good amount of clay that Eric Kaler and Greg Harbaugh have to work with in their tight end room with Roman Voss.
All right. So there's also another tight end in this class. It's already committed. This is Gabe Weaver. He's a 6'5", 220-pound tight end out of St. Louis, Missouri. He committed here during the summer splash period. So what can you tell us about him?
This is the one on offense where I don't understand why there isn't a lot more going on, because he's from St. Louis, so it's not like he's from a podunk place, but he's actually 6'5". He's actually 220 pounds, and of which, if you were to look at him as he's standing there, you'd think he's 185, which can tell me he's going to get to 255 very, very easily. And from what I've been told behind the scenes as well, he's got some of the biggest hands potentially like in this recruiting class. So he's got giant hands. He's very svelte. He's a high school receiver that's going to play tight end here. I understand tight end recruiting is very nuanced in terms of what you're looking for. Some people want a smaller type of guy that can play H-back, and some people want a flex guy, of which Roman Voss can put his hand in the dirt, sure, but he also can flex him out. I think Gabe Weaver is going to probably be your more traditional Y tight end, where his hand's in the ground more times than not. We'll see how ends up being utilized here. But I'll just say this. I think it's a good evaluation from Eric Kaler, the tight end coach here. I don't understand why Missouri and some of these other schools that historically hit St. Louis pretty well didn't end up going on Gabe Weaver. I think we have him ranked with an 88 rating, which means we are higher than I would say his offer list would reflect. But it's a little strange to me, because it's tough to find kids who look like that and they end up coming to the University of Minnesota. I will also do a little covenant cleanup here. The other name I was looking for future tight ends is Jacob Simpson. Wanted to make sure I threw that in there as well.
What is a covenant cleanup?
Yeah, it's a KFAN bit. Like I said, for me as someone who's done a lot of KFAN.
Basically you're just correcting your wrongs?
I am admitting my wrongs and trying to rectify them. I'm trying to change my best, Luke Buehr.
Understood. Okay, we'll wrap up here with pass catchers. We have Hayden Moore from Newberry, Florida. He is a 6'1", 190-pound wide receiver. He's a 3-star. You got him in an 86, and he committed in April.
Yeah, all three receiver commits from Hayden Moore to Kai Meza to Rico Blasingame are all 86s. And they are all they're all within like an inch of each other in terms of they're all above 6 foot, but I would say none of them are taller than like 6'1.5". But it's interesting because they all do very different things. So like Hayden Moore, Minnesota ended up hanging on to over Penn State because he committed to Minnesota in the spring and then Penn State offered afterwards. He ultimately set an official visit, took his Minnesota official visit, said, "I really like it here. Going to cancel the Penn State one." Nifty. He's someone that I think is the most natural ball catcher probably of the guys in this class, where he's not fighting it. As a junior down in Newberry, he caught over 50 passes, averaged nearly 20 yards per reception on them. Guy likes to make a big play. So I think he's one where, of the three, I might tell you he has the highest ceiling, just because I think it's really tough to find guys like that that come to the University of Minnesota. Now, I say that, and I've watched receivers like Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, Daniel Jackson, but I think more for me probably has the highest ceiling. I think the guy with the highest floor is Kai Mezzo, a kid from Utah that Minnesota beat out Arkansas, Oklahoma State, and Boise for. Super productive for his high school out in Utah. He's over 6 foot, as I mentioned, but this is a guy who's already caught 131 passes. And oh, by the way, Luke, this might sound familiar for most of the skill guys in this class. He's averaging almost 20 yards per reception, and he's yet to play his senior year. Now, I think of the three guys, he's the one who might slide into the slot, but I really like Kai Mezzo. If you ask me who my favorite of the three is, it's probably Mezzo, but I think he's someone who helps sooner than later. Now, I would tell you the guy who's going to take maybe a little bit more time is Rico Blazengame, an Arizona receiver Minnesota has committed. They did beat out Arizona for him. Receivers coach Matt Simon has been on him a very long time. He's not a burner by any means, but he's your 50-50 ball winner of this class. Someone that if you need to go and get one at the back pylon, you're going to be throwing it up to Rico Blazengame. Now, he needs to gain weight, which is why I think he's going to end up taking a few years to develop, but three very different kind of skill sets between the three receiver commits.
All right, so that I think wraps up offense. Anyone else you want to touch base on? I don't think there's any other offensive guys. I think we got them all. Let's start at defensive line. Howie Johnson, Forest Lake. He's been committed for a good while, Ryan. 6'3", 255. He's the number two player in the state.
I've seen Howie Johnson for I don't know how many years at different prep red zone Minnesota camps. And to me, that was the easiest early offer that Minnesota could make. They did it, and he committed on the spot. Someone who has been incredibly productive for Forest Lake. I think he's been top two in tackles for loss each of the last two seasons as a sophomore and as a junior. The kid is relentless. He's just relentless, and he's just very, very strong for his age. If you ever end up finding him on Twitter, I mean, you can see him squatting 500-plus pounds. And, I mean, these are the types of defensive tackles that go to Iowa and then just wreak havoc on a Minnesota offensive line for 3 years. And you're like, how come Minnesota can't get guys like that? Well, Howie Johnson is getting guys like that in a Golden Gopher uniform. He's also been one of the best track throwers in the state for the last couple of years. I think Howie Johnson, to me, is going to be that pass rushing defensive tackle that we've been kind of waiting to see. We've seen flashes of it times from guys like Sam Renner, guys like Steven Richardson comes to mind, Niles Pinckney. I'm still hopeful that Devin Eastern can be a pass rushing defensive tackle for them here this fall. But to me, that's where I think Howie Johnson can help sooner than later. He's already big enough. Now he's only 250 something pounds. So he's going to be a little undersized as he continues to gain weight, but strength per pound, which is the unofficial measurement of Luke's household. I think he ranks very highly in.
Yeah. My 3-year-old's got that one won by a significant margin. Okay. Other defensive linemen, we've got Josiah. This is going to be a tricky one for me. Iyansi.
I think you're around the...
Am I in the ballpark?
It's one of your better efforts. I don't know if it's your best. I think it's Josiah Anyansi.
Anyansi. So, it's a soft A, Anyansi. Okay, and he's from California. He is a 6'3", 260-pound defensive lineman, another three-star at 85.
Yeah, someone that defensive line coach Dennis Dotton Carter offered... I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, they were able to get him on campus here in the spring. And I think he surprised some people with how tall and long he actually was. I cannot stress to you how every high school prospect, I shouldn't say every, I'll say a majority. I would say 75% of high school prospects list themselves 2 inches too tall, 2 inches too, or 2/10 too fast, and I would say 15 pounds underweight. And so when they do show up on campus and they do get your height, your weight, your measurements, that's where I don't understand why high school prospects do that. It's kind of one of my recommendations to where when I'm at these camps and I've talked to parents and kids, it's look, if you're 5'11", just list yourself at 5'11" so that when you show up to a college campus and you list yourself at 6'1" and then you measure in at 5'11", nobody's angry.
There's a lot of hope in that deception there.
Look, I say this as a man who is actually 6'4". I never try to tell people I'm 6'6". I never try to tell people I'm 6'5". Now, I know a couple of other folks who are, say, 5'8", and they call themselves 5'10", 5'11", and that's where I love to tell them, wait, you're 5'11"? I'm only 6 foot.
Do they stand on their tiptoes and in photos, too?
That's a whole – again, I continue to get off shade. Because that's my nature, and I know you've got to rein me in, so
– No shade.
Where I was getting at with this is Anyansi showed up on campus, and he was actually what he was listed. If anything, they were like, okay, let's see how he continues to progress. And I think he added some weight during the spring, held it really well. Minnesota's excited to kind of get him into the mix now. Like Luke said, he's around 260 pounds, I would say. If he continues to grow into that, you're going to see him as more of a defensive tackle. If he kind of stalls out around 275, 280 pounds, that's more your five technique. I think in an ideal world, those type of body types, and we'll talk a lot about that with the next guy too, and Jeremiah Benson. Early downs, you're on the outside holding the Big Ten run game. On passing downs, you slide inside and you go against the guards so you can kind of use that quickness to your advantage. So they're excited to have Josiah. And then with Jeremiah Benson, I feel for Northern Illinois coach Thomas Hammack, of which P.J. Fleck and Thomas Hammack do have connections going back to P.J. Fleck being at Northern Illinois. But I feel for him because Minnesota's got two former Northern Illinois commits in their class that many other Big Ten schools also wanted at the very end. And one of them is Jeremiah Benson, a kid out of Michigan that I believe Minnesota was able to see live here and, again, get legitimate measurements and things of that nature. Another guy, 6'3", 265 pounds. If he adds weight, you're looking at a defensive tackle. If he stalls out more around the 275, 280-pound mark, looking at more of a five technique, but you want to have guys with flexibility who can do a lot of different things, and that's where, to me, Benson and Anyansi can join Howie Johnson there on the interior.
All right, so we got a couple edge players as well. We've got Anthony Charles out of McDonald, Pennsylvania. He is a 6'5", 196. He's 6'5", 196 pounds. He's an 87 three-star. He committed on the very 1st of June, so now he is 1 month into his commitment.
We're talking Anthony Charles, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, Anthony Charles is going to be a kid, to me, where there is a very, very high ceiling, but we also have to acknowledge that he's got a lot of weight to put on. I think he's sub-200 pounds right now, which... I mean, we've seen some guys like that come through here and they've added the necessary weight. I think about guys like Theron Cochran over the years that added weight, were very productive Big Ten players for Minnesota. But Anthony Charles had an extensive offer list and he had official visits after Minnesota set to Michigan, Penn State, and I believe Wisconsin. So everybody acknowledges that this is going to be a guy that probably isn't going to help you until 2028. But the reason why he's so highly sought after, I would imagine, is he has an incredibly long arm and he's got an incredibly long wingspan. And if you can be a very long defensive end and you can hold your arm out, obviously, put it on the chest of the offensive tackle and be able to bend the corner with that type of measurements and be, I think he is close to 6'5". It's very tough to find guys like that that you can bet on the upside with. Now, it's going to take some time with Anthony Charles, but when I think of the defensive ends that Michigan and Wisconsin and Penn State have produced over the last decade, those are the types of schools I would like to see Minnesota battling for guys like that. So Charles is going to take some time, but the measurements are there. And then I would love for you to enunciate the final defensive line commit, formerly an NIU commit, Mr. Luke Buehr.
I'm going to go with Aiden H.
I think it's Atch.
Atch. Oh, man.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. I think I've heard it enunciated from different sources in different ways.
Yeah.
But Minnesota was kind of the first Big Ten school to offer him after he committed to Northern Illinois. And then you got schools like Iowa who came in, schools like Kentucky who came in. I want to be battling Iowa guys. I want to be battling guys that want to go to the University of Iowa. And that's where Minnesota got the first official visit for Aiden. They were able to get him committed. And I think he's a guy that I think about Anthony Charles, and I think about probably him as more of a rush end type. I think Aiden Atch could be a rush end. I also could see him playing some five technique too. But he is definitely a defensive end in my mind. He is someone that, and from talking with his coaches, from talking with him, he hasn't had the easiest of lives to this point. And I think Minnesota being able to connect with him on the official visit really resonated well with he and his people. And it's always one of those things where, you know, the kid and their loved ones, they feel like they find a home. And you're always kind of rooting for stories like that. But for me with Atch, I think he's got a great get off. I think he can bend the corner well. And if it goes well for him, again, you've got another pass rusher out on the outside.
All right. Let's move back from the defensive line and let's talk. I think linebacker would make some sense maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk Hudson Dunn from Peoria, Arizona. He's a 3-star, 87, 6'1", 210 pounds.
Hudson Dunn represented, at least for new linebackers coach Mariano Sorimarin, to me, the first kind of recruiting win in linebacker recruiting in a couple of years, where I'm not saying that some of the guys that Minnesota has landed here in the last couple of classes aren't going to be good players. I like some of the guys that they've taken, specifically guys like Mason Carrier, the kid from Caledonia who just got here as well. But winning recruiting battles hasn't always been a strong suit at that position. And when Hudson Dunn committed to Minnesota back in the spring, he had three official visits set for June. They were with Minnesota, they were with Oregon, and they were with Michigan. And if we're seeing Minnesota compete with a team that won the national title 2 years ago and a team that I believe was the number one overall seed in the national title or the college football playoff rankings last year, yeah, that'll do for me. Again, I don't know what your bar to clear is, but mine at linebacker, especially in recruiting, is incredibly low. And so Hudson Dunn is kind of that, at least to me, the Will linebacker type. He plays a lot of stand-up defensive end for his high school, and he's going to transition, I think, more back to Will linebacker. To me, now, we'll see what Emmanuel Carmo ends up being. I think he's very similar in that aspect to what Minnesota envisions using Emmanuel Carmo as. Will linebacker on early downs, pass rusher, potentially on passing downs. You just want to get guys that are real twitched up, that can really chase down people. And Hudson isn't the biggest linebacker in the world. He doesn't have Cody Lindenberg type of measurements. But when Oregon and Michigan are battling schools like Minnesota and you're able to win that, I mean, that's a good recruiting win for Mariano. Sorry, Marion.
All right. I'm going to go with Angel Luciano.
Angel Luciano.
Angel. Well, come on. Angel could have worked.
I like the effort here. I'm not faulting your execution, and I'm not faulting your effort. I enjoy the effort. You're not mailing it in, Luke.
I'm trying. I said it about eight times in my head. I went back and forth, and it's like it's 50-50. It's Angel or Angel. So Angel from Steltontown, Pennsylvania. He's 6'1", 225, and he is an 87 3-star.
And that's where the other thing with this recruiting cycle, linebacker recruiting, if you'd been following along on Gopher Illustrated and going into the official visits, you knew that Sorimarin had been going head-to-head for many different linebacker recruits with Joe Rossi out at Michigan State. Shocker that the mentor in Joe Rossi and the mentee in Mariano Sorimarin look for the same things in linebacker.
They see the same thing? Yeah, weird.
So – Minnesota was able to beat out Michigan State and Joe Rossi for Angel Luciano, someone they had prioritized for a very long time. He's from the state of Pennsylvania. I think he's more of your Mike linebacker to me. I remember talking with his high school coach afterwards, of which his high school coach reminds me a lot of PJ Fleck, with the kind of the way that that program is run, which I can see why Angel would think, yeah, if I like that here in high school, I'm going to like that at the collegiate level. So I think whereas Hudson is more of your Will linebacker, Angel to me is more of your Mike linebacker type. Now, he's not the biggest guy in the world. Again, he's 6'1", 6'2", but he is a very physical player on tape, can get downhill in a hurry, can shed blocks. He's got great hands with that. So two big recruiting wins for Sory Marin here to start off his tenure as the linebackers coach.
Okay. I think that does it for linebacker, if I'm not mistaken. This list, yep. I can't filter. Let's talk defensive backs. So the top-rated cornerback is Justin Hopkins from Nashville, Tennessee. He's 5 foot 10.5. I want to make sure that we call that out. It's 5 foot 10.5, Ryan, in the height category here on 247. We don't short people half an inch. 180 pounds. He's an 89 three-star.
Yeah, Justin Hopkins was among the bigger recruiting wins early on, especially for Nick Monroe in this recruiting cycle, where I think Justin Hopkins has about 40 offers. Now, you don't see that happen too often. And even after he committed to Minnesota, he picked up offers from places like Wisconsin. And that's where, after his official visit to Minnesota, he put out a statement saying, you know, I'm fully locked in now, no more visits elsewhere. And so I talked to him about that and I went, what did you mean by that? Because again, it can mean a lot of different things. I want to have kids clarify in their own words so there's no ambiguity when their fans are discussing them. And that's where he told me that, you know, there had been some schools saying, well, you chose Minnesota, but that's not like your final place. Like, you're going to take an official visit to us later in June. Like, you'll see how you like Minnesota and then come compare it to us. Well, he has been on campus here, I think, 3, if not 4 times now, because I remember being at a spring practice that he was at back in the spring. Loved his official visit. And he just wanted to put a statement out there and say, college coaches, stop bothering me. So that's fun to see. Again, to me, if it goes well for Justin Hopkins, I think he reminds me some of a former Justin who started for multiple years here at the University of Minnesota at corner, and Justin Wally. Now, I don't know if he's going to end up being as fast as what Justin Wally was, and I'm still very surprised that Justin Wally ran a 4.440 at the NFL draft, at the NFL combine. I don't think Justin Hopkins is the biggest or the fastest corner in the world, but he's got great instincts. Someone who plays safety out for your favorite former, I believe, Seattle Seahawks quarterback, which, if you're trying to rack your brain, no, it's not Geno Smith, Luke Buehr. He plays for Matt Hasselbeck.
Okay.
His high school head coach, I believe, out at Ensworth in Tennessee there.
He and Sean Alexander took the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. Didn't win, of course, but.
I mean, Luke, why we got to rub salt on the wound there? Why we got to do that to people?
Yeah, sorry.
But big recruiting win for Nick Monroe there. And then their other corner in this class is Chance Payne, a kid from Georgia, of which really started to blow up after he went to, I believe it was an Under Armour combine, I think out in Charlotte, where once again, folks, you'll be shocked to hear this, once he got verified measurables, of which at that combine, he was 5'10", 177, he ran an electronic 4.44 40, which, say that 5 times, Luke, with over a 10-foot broad jump. That's going to get you on anybody's radar. And then you put on his tape, and he is a very physical player. For on offense, I talked about how Gabe Weaver was my pick for, I don't understand why it doesn't have more going on. My pick on defense is going to be Chance Payne, because it's very tough to find guys that are over 5'10", that run as well as he do, that test as well as he do, and then you put on the tape, and he's a very physical corner. So I think while they are going to be similar in stature, two very different skill sets for Nick Monroe.
All right, let's talk safeties quickly. We've got Jordan Lampkin from Bowlingsburg, or sorry, Bowling Brook, Illinois.
Have you spent any time in and around Chicago in your life?
I mean, like I get into the airport and then I head into the city. So around it, no.
So does that mean you've never tried what I would tell you is Chicago's best delicacy in Malort?
No.
Have you ever heard of Malort?
No.
I think what you should do, and there's going to be some people listening to this that would agree with me, I'm sure. I want you to head north to Total Wine. I want you to go pick up a shooter of Malort, and I want you to taste it and then report back to us. Can you do that for me? It's going to cost you like $3.99 maybe. It's not that far out of your drive. I want you to experience Malort.
No, just like on that like amount and the sinister nature in your voice, I'm not doing that.
Come on now. There was no cynicism there. Are you kidding me? This is, I'm saying this with all of my heart.
I'm saying this is, you're being sinister. This is, no, I'm not going to do that.
I don't know about that.
That sounds terrible. Okay, but is this near, is Malort like the Bowling Brook, Illinois liquor of choice?
I haven't spent a lot of time there. I figured you knew as the Chicago man.
But no, I'm not the Chicago man.
Well, that's where with Jordan Lampkins. This was one that Danny Collins went and saw in the spring and really loved his live evaluation of. And if there was one kind of evaluator I would trust here among the Gopher football defensive staff, I look at what Minnesota has done with their safety room, and I look at some of the guys like Kerry Brown, Nathan Guzmi, obviously Coy Parrish there. I think you're going to get to see more and more of Garrison Monroe this year, and they've got some other young guys that they like behind them. But I know that Collins loved his live evaluation of Lampkins. Minnesota was able to set him for the second weekend, and they were able to get him committed. And then the other one, the final guy we'll talk about is Trayson Richardson from Texas. This is one where this is about the only time I can really say this with this 24-man recruiting class. I don't know that Minnesota knew who Trayson Richardson was before they saw him at a TCU mega camp in the early part of June, where he measured in over 6 foot, ran a 4.5 40, and they went, oh, so let's put on the tape. They liked the tape. They got him up to campus, liked what he and his family were about. They meshed well together. Sometimes it's about fit. So while Richardson and Lampkins aren't the highest rated recruits in this class, I would tell you that I know Collins is very excited to have those two guys in the boat.
Okay. I think that does it. Does it not?
I felt like that was like a PJ Fleck National Signing Day line-by-line thing.
But in June.
I know a lot of fans appreciate, and I appreciate all of you for caring about that. And I know there are recruits and their families. And again, I don't mean to not tell you your son's not going to be the next Darius Taylor, or your son's not going to be the next Ariante Ursary.
I mean, statistically, they aren't.
Feller, but this is a really good recruiting class. Again, I talked about it on the onset of it has the potential to be one where if Minnesota has, especially as the college football playoff expands to 16 teams here in the very near future, it's one that you kind of look forward to in 4 or 5 years and say, yeah, Minnesota, with this type of recruiting class, and as they continue to then supplement then through the transfer portal, I mean, they can be on that cusp of competing in a few years down the line. Now, I'll reiterate, these are all teenagers. It's going to take at least 3 years for many of these guys to see the field here at Huntington Bank Stadium, but this is as good of clay that I think that this staff has recruited in some time, both in quality and quantity of it. Now it's going to be on them to develop them once they get to campus.
I'm just very interested. Did Clay replace, the plate analogy? Is this what we're going with here?
Oh my God. You got to eat everything.
Is this your change? No. Is this your changing your best?
You're the worst.
Love you.
Absolute worst. Look, I understand I have the world's worst analogies.
I think the problem is that you recycle them too frequently, but let me tell you something. Just to go over the scorecard here of the episode, I'm the mispronunciation king, so please don't mispronounce Oregon again. That's for me. Okay.
Can I call it Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean
Illinois.
I've heard how you pronounce milk as well. So that's
what's
not
wrong with skim milk.
Yeah, of course.
You love yourself some 2% milk.
Well, let me ask you though. are you doing the pronunciation of water from New Jersey or from here in Minnesota?
Okay, it's water, not water.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, we'll get off this this little rib fest here. Again, I want to thank you all for listening. You are truly the diehards if you listen to this episode of kids that are committed to the University of Minnesota, might play at Minnesota, might not. So you are a true sicko. Congratulations. We love you for it. Again, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.